Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 235. It's a Thursday evening, which means it is a Fab preview show. Week 5, Fab preview coming your way this evening. A little bit of news to get you through this, but it's been injury news has been tame, which has been nice for the last few days. So we'll get you Fab preview and much, much more. First off, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. On playback at playback.tv /Bubba Bloom. On Patreon at patreon.com/Bubba Bloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
I didn't realize we had to lengthen the intro even more. That's not great, but I think worth it. That playback thing was
playback won't be mentioned very often. I just had to throw it out there because it was a blast on
Wednesday. So we did our first. We're learning as we go, and I guess games that you stream can't be watched after the fact. I don't know if that's a tech thing, a legal thing, whatever. But we did our first stream on Wednesday night. It was a freaking ton of fun watching Bobby Miller just go up in total flames. Thank you to everyone who watched. We had like 20-30 people for our first stream there, and it was a great time. I loved the concept, just the concept of being able to sit down with you, watch a game, shoot the breeze, and just react to back-to-back dongs, to quote you. It was a fun thing. So we're going to do it more. It's just the challenge is scheduling and our schedules and getting that all to sync up. But we will let everyone know when we're able to stream more games on playback.
Yeah, I know I can't give you guys an exact date, but between either Friday or Saturday in the afternoon / evenings, I will get you at least one show. I know it doesn't help you a ton right now, but there will be one show in that window. I just don't know which one it is, because the worst part is right now the schedule has like no West Coast night games right now to really screw it up. Yeah. So we'll get it in where it fits in. But more often than not, you'll get a couple a week, hopefully, and we'll have some fun with it because it is a darn good time. And like you said, we have 25-30 people in there a lot, which was really, really cool, because at the time it was like for the East Coasters, it was late. Guys were hanging around until midnight.
Like, I got to go to bed. Bobby Miller's out of the game. It's time to go.
They came for what they knew they were coming for, and they got it.
They got it. Jesus. You got your high noon going right after that, after the Toglia Grand Slam, which was just even more fitting because we just bagged the guy Tuesday night on our show, and then Grand Slam off of Bobby Miller. It was pretty epic. I did clip that and clip the second half of the back-to-back homer, tweeted those out today if anyone wants to kind of check out those clips. But it was a ton of fun, man. Time flew by. Yeah.
Get me singing Hey Mickey with Mickey Moniak.
That would be a low point of the show when Bubba bursts out in song, but you were Burke excited.
Burke said that was the best part of the show.
Well, Burks has questionable taste, so
he is an Oregon Ducks fan after all. But it was a good time, so we'll get you more of that coming up here and everything else. You know, we're trying to get you guys as much exciting stuff and important newsworthy stuff we can give you guys to enjoy the baseball season and the fantasy baseball season, so playback does add to that for sure. All right. Not a whole lot of promotion tonight, so you're welcome, folks. Let's get into the news and notes on this one, Ryan. Again, it's not a whole lot, just some minor things, but we'll kick it off with Christian Encarnacion Strand, who hit the IL on Thursday morning with back discomfort, low back inflammation, I believe was the exact diagnosis they're rolling with right now, which is weird because he missed like four games with a wrist contusion, plays a game, actually got a couple of hits, looks better than he leaves with the back issue. Noel V. Marte got called up. Where are you at on this one? Because I'm waiting the next 2 days to see what the actual diagnosis is and length of this injury, but CES might be hitting the chopping block.
Yeah, it makes it that we were kind of on the fence a little. Maybe I was on the other side of the fence on Tuesday night when we did our mid-round slow start hitters with CES, not knowing. I just, when I saw he got hurt, I was the same thing. I was like, oh, I guess they decided to IL him because of his wrist. Guess not. Yeah. I guess it was the back. So that's even more concerning. CES, if you've got better options this weekend in Fab, I wouldn't be too hesitant with the drop button there. Even in 15 teamers is always tough, but you probably have another couple injuries you're dealing with on your team right now. So I don't know, dude. Will we see I guess Noelvi Marte got called back up 2 days after being sent down. I don't know. Is Noelvi Marte going to play enough? Like, the Reds have not shown their willingness to play Marte. I think he's only got 7 plate appearances. So it could just be another kind of cluster in that middle infield. I guess Jamer Candelario is probably the primary first baseman. Anyone else fit in there? Well, Spencer Steer? I don't know.
I was going to say, as Terry Francona flat out said on Thursday, that Spencer Steer will be playing first base pretty soon. So I think Candelario to start, essentially, but then I think Candyman might go back to third. Santiago Espinal is also playing third base. So as usual in Cincinnati, it's a cluster.
Yeah.
But Steer at first base could be good. I'd take that, honestly, especially with the love you gave Steer on the last show. So that would check out, but it would make the Marte situation very tricky.
But like, I'm not that excited about fab wise. Like, I'm not really looking at Marte this weekend. I just don't think he's going to get enough playing time.
They didn't give him the playing time when they had the chance when CES was out. I don't see it happening this time. I could be wrong, but I don't see it. Don't see it happen. All right. Matt Wallner hits the IL with a hamstring injury. Hopefully it's not too great. I haven't heard a grade to the strain just yet. So he's out for a bit. Luke Kuechel, I might have butchered that, I apologize, is getting promoted by the Minnesota Twins. He's MLB's number 57th overall prospect in baseball right now. He's a middle infielder. So first off, I'm thinking is Willy Castro's oblique injury really bad? We don't have him on the IL because they didn't play a game on Thursday. Is that an issue? Are we going to get that on Friday? Or do they move Willy Castro to the outfield because Matt Walter's out? There's a couple options here. Regardless, Kuechel's getting the call, and I feel like if he's getting the call right, he's going to play. So where do you see this one going?
Yeah, that I don't know. Maybe he will play. I don't know if Kuechel, and again, we are not prospect guys. I can probably speak for you too, Bubba. We did not know who Luke Kuechel was till very recently. So there is that. Take this analysis with a grain of salt. But what I always do every single time there's a new call up, this is not a not so subtle plug. I always go over to Baseball HQ's call up page. They do daily call ups for every single prospect that gets called up, and very detailed, thorough reports and stats and that sort of thing. So the guys over at HQ, like, they like Kuechel. 69th overall prospect for Baseball HQ. And that's nice. A fantasy. Yep. Nice. That's a fantasy centric list. So we are high kind of long-term on Kuechel. I worry about, is he even ready? This is somebody who has 58 plate appearances, AAA this season has, and that's it for AAA, has only 267 plate appearances in AA for his career. And so, like, this is quite the jump for Luke Kuechel. So we'll talk about some other call-ups either throughout the team-by-team thing or in the next couple of news hits. I'm not that excited fab-wise in the short term for Luke Kuechel. I just think there's a decent chance he gets eaten up the first go-around against Major League pitching, even though, like you said, he might play just because the Twins are, like, dying.
There's no one left. I'm very nervous. This is involving the mascot is what I'm nervous about, because he left with an oblique injury. We have no diagnosis yet. They had the day off Thursday. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised.
And if that's, like, God forbid, like a grade two where he's going to be out for like over a month, then this gets interesting. Then the play gets interesting. Now, like, they're running with Brooks Lee. He already got the start. He had a home run. They want him to do his thing. So yeah, Kuechel could be a nothing burger when all things are said and done, but he could also, you know, he had some power, he had some speed. He could get some love in that regard as well. So time will tell. We've got a couple days to figure it out. So, like, I'm with you. If it turns out he's just kind of filling in, I'm not as excited. Like, he kind of reminds me of what Brooks Lee was last year. Everyone was so excited when Brooks Lee got called up, got a little run, but to your point, the dude, he was born in August of 2022, Ryan. I was a month away from starting my first semester in college. 2002. Yes, he was born in 2002. He's 22 years old. Like this, and so very raw is my point on this. So we'll see on him as well. All right, this is a prospect
catcher.
Yes, this is a prospect I was hoping was called up a couple weeks ago when the White Sox had an injury to the catching department. Edgar Caro is getting the call. And yeah, Scott, I have t-shirts older than him. I'm with you. Edgar Caro is getting the call for the Chicago White Sox. He got the start on Thursday, went 0-for-3 in his debut. Kid can hit. He hits for a really good average, has really good OBP skills. If like for like tout line, this guy's actually quite intriguing if people need catchers. It just comes down to like, is he going to be the primary guy? In theory, if they called him up, he should be the primary over Matt Theis, just bottom line. But it's the White Sox. So just keep that in mind. Right now, he looks like he showcases 10 to 15 home runs, really no speed, but he's still so young. I know like prospect guys say he's got a big power hit tool that maybe he taps into at some point. But regardless, like if he's playing every day, he's going to have catcher two viability in like 12 team and deeper leagues, I think. Like, I think he's that good to be productive. So that's my two cents. I actually did know something about him because I have written him up in the offseason.
Yep. We kind of wanted him on opening day. So yeah, it is the White Sox, like you say, but the White Sox actually do play their prospects. Like Miguel Vargas.
They keep calling him up.
Is playing. Chase Mydroth has started every game. He's been up since he's been let off today. So like the White Sox are willing to let their prospects play, which is what we want in this case with Edgar Caro. So yeah, this is a second catcher that I'm excited about. I think, I don't know if you agree with this comp. Usually you don't agree with my comps that I throw out there, but would you say like Gabriel Moreno type, where it's a good batting average, but not much else? I just don't know about the power right away for Edgar Caro.
He's probably a kind of a blend between a Gabriel Moreno, Kyber Ruiz, is where I see him fitting in, somewhere in that kind of blend. Like personally,
which is a good second catcher, we're saying, especially great if he catcher plays, too.
Like, because the idea, like, and people probably hate me for this forever, but we have pounded this in the catcher's department why we like Kyber Ruiz and some of these guys, because batting average at catcher is insane. Like, you just don't get that. So to be able to get this off the waiver wire nonetheless, like, we've seen some of the struggles at the catcher's position this year. If you can get this off the wire, that's pretty sweet.
Yep.
Like, Danny Jansen managers, this is your guy right here. Like, stuff like that. Yep. So we'll see how that goes. All right, a little bit more here. Mike Clevinger got DFA to the applause of many on social media. But my question to you, Ryan, because I tried to decipher it last night on Breakfast with Bubba, and the real thing is do you even want to try to attack the White Sox closing situation? That's question one. Do you even want to deal with that? Second, if you do, Ryan, how are you going to attack it?
So I'm not, and it's easy. Yeah. It's like a cheap joke to say, oh, it's the White Sox. They're not, whatever. The White Sox, they are the only team. They do not have a save as a team this entire season. So like when I say don't worry about it, it doesn't matter. It's do not good. Put your research time into it. Literally, the team has no saves. They are the only team without a save. Actually, it's interesting. The other two teams, I'm not going to trivia you. Baltimore and Minnesota as a team only have one save. Yeah, Felix Bautista and Juan Duran. But like I just don't think it's worth your time to try and hunt for saves on the White Sox. So you literally could go an entire month without the entire team getting a save. So, and we kind of are on that pace. So
Let me add on to that for you. In 2024, the White Sox were last in baseball in saves. They only had 21 saves as a team. 21. The Miami Marlins were second to last. They were 29th in baseball at 33. So there's a 12 save gap between the White Sox and the next team.
To
let it sink in even more, the Cardinals led baseball with 55 saves. So, you don't need to stress about it personally.
Nope, you don't. Okay. Well, so we won't.
My point that I wanted to bring through came through, so that was good. Lastly, this one is awesome and angry at the same time. Caleb Durbin is getting the call to the Brewers, and I had drafted a lot of Caleb Durbin, and where I could drop him, he pretty much got dropped on the first fab period because it seemed like this was going to be a while situation. Caleb Durbin will be coming up. Oliver Dunn is sent back to AAA. Technically, though, the guys that are starting at the positions where Caleb Durbin will play are still on the roster, so we'll have to see how that plays out. But he should be the starting third baseman, Ryan.
That's what I was going to – like, do you think he – gets some run, because the Brewers have not, remember Tyler Black, right?
Yeah,
last season got called up around this time last year. We thought unlike the White Sox, the Brewers have shown the willingness to send up, send down, blah blah blah. So I don't know. I think Durbin will get regular run, and if he does, it's absolutely worth targeting. But there is that like 10%, 20% of me that's like, what if this is another? He's literally like up for the weekend, like some Brewer prospects from last year. So that's my only hesitation here.
Yeah, no, he should be a one of the best pickups this week, personally. Like, I was looking at, we'll talk about this obviously when we go through our team by teams. Like, Caleb Durbin is 4% rostered in OCs right now. That is going to be a very interesting fab process this weekend with Caleb Durbin, because I know I'll have bids in, but I'm always timid and scared. So we'll see if it pays off. And then again, it's OCs. Someone's going to get them for a dollar somewhere. So be prepared for that as well. So don't be like thinking you can't afford someone. Put some bids in. Just put them in.
Yeah.
You never know.
I mean, it could be a ton of steals. Like, a lot of the projection system, basically on Fangraphs, like 150 plate appearances the rest of the season, whatever. Playing time is playing time. But in those 150 plate appearances projected for Durbin, it's 3 homers, 7 to 8 steals. If you project that out to like times it by 3, assuming Durbin is their everyday third baseman, that's pretty good production from the wire at a position that is pretty scarce.
He won't have the average, but he's like this year's potentially Xavier Edwards with getting all those steals off the wire. More power, though. So
yeah, more powerless.
I'm more referring to, there's always like one or two steals guys that come through off the wire every year. This is your guy. This is the one, basically. All right, that'll do it. Like I said, small amount of news, but it was actually pertinent compared to like, hey, this guy's day-to-day, this guy's day-to-day. It's actually something.
How would you rank, just to wrap up the news, how would you rank, and again, a team, whatever position, Durbin and Fab this week, Durbin versus Caro versus Keyshaw versus Noel V. Marte?
It'd be Durbin. Well, it depends if you need a catcher, so yes, to your point.
Sure, yeah.
Just in a vacuum. It'd be Durbin, Caro, Keyshaw, Marte. Almost in that exact order.
Okay. And for me, Durbin and Caro, and then a big gap, and then Keyshaw, and then probably another big gap, and then Marte.
Like if I'm bidding on Keyshaw, it'll be for like $3, $4 probably. Okay. Like I'm not going to hide that. Like it won't be for much. And if I get it wrong, I get it wrong. It's fine. Yeah. And Marte probably won't even be on my bid list. Yep. So that's just the reality, just to your point.
He'll be on the same list as potential White Sox closer candidates.
Yes. Yes, they'll be right on the same milk carton. All right, let's check it out. Let's get to it. Week 5 Fab preview for those that may be new to the show. Here we go, team by team, previewing next week's schedule. We'll talk most added at Fantrax, and then we'll talk some two-step pitchers. So, Ryan, what are we looking at here?
So this is our weekly planner that's available for every Patreon subscriber. These are Google Sheets that I give access to all of our Patreon folks and update these every day throughout the weekend and into next week. So it's not just the schedule grid we're looking at here, but it's like you said, the top free agent risers at Fantrax and then starting pitcher matchups for the next couple of weeks. So feel free to check that out and support the show if you would like. Big thing for me this week, we got our first like 5-game week. We've got the Cubs and Dodgers. They play each other. They play a 2-game set against each other through the week, and so Freddie Freeman will get his 2 rest days without having to miss a game. So that's the benefit of a 5-game week. Had to throw that one in there.
Oh, that was got playback. We're getting to watch Freddie for once. Wow, not good.
just hobbling.
Not
that good. Was. I'm kind of glad there's no replay of that one because I was going pretty hard against
you. You were getting nervous, man. You were venting on that one.
Seeing and my guy like round second.
Yeah, one of the listeners said it. But it was bad him trying to cover first base on a play. Yeah. Like, or running for like a foul ball or whatever. It was bad. But some listeners like, yeah, it looks like Kurt Gibson actually out there. I'm like, yeah, not wrong. Sorry.
Running around doing this.
As you were. you said his name, and I'm like, yeah, that was bad last night.
You got a couple 7-game weeks. This is the Patriots Day week coming up. So we get Red Sox against the White Sox in a wraparound series. Monday morning, 8 a.m. So that's not cool, but whatever.
Early lineup block.
Milwaukee and your San Francisco Giants also get 7-game weeks. So that's the macro level.
A lot of 6-gamers this week. Lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Yep.
All right, let's get after it team by team here. We always start, it goes by division and then alphabetical in divisions. AL East, Baltimore Orioles, six games coming up this week, three at the Nationals, three at the Tigers, three lefties, three righties. It's two lefties in the first half of the week versus the Nats, two righties on the second half of the week versus Detroit. Regardless, not excited about this situation. The one thing to monitor is Tyler O'Neill's neck's messed up, so Laureano is getting more playing time, but that still doesn't really maybe work for this.
Right, agreed, because I don't know if Laureano becomes an everyday player. So I don't have too much on the Orioles. It does sound like, and I've mentioned his name a couple times in the past, Brandon Young. It does sound, momentum is gearing towards a call-up soon for Brandon Young, to the point where Fangraphs actually has Brandon Young listed as a probable on Saturday to go against Cincinnati. So we may get a Brandon Young look before Fab. He would line up next week at Detroit. Pretty good skills in the minors. This is someone who I think is ready, and I will probably be bidding on Brandon Young, assuming he gets called up and has spot in the rotation, yada, yada. I would be willing to take a shot on Brandon Young more than a bunch of these kind of streaming starting pitchers that we're looking at that I usually try and bid like 20, 25 bucks range. I'd probably be going a little bit more for that for Brandon Young.
Yeah. And, Kyle Gibson's got one more rehab start. Just keep that in mind, but
yeah.
And if Young is good, that's fine. Cause we got news on Thursday that our buddy Grayson Rodriguez was supposed to throw a bullpen and he got shut down
for RIP.
MRI. Yeah, he's done.
Like he's done. Like I don't know why we're, unless you have an IL spot and unlimited IL spots. Like I kind of counted Grayson out a while ago. Grayson Rodriguez is
100% rostered.
He's 100% rostered in 12. I just looked that up too. Like, come on, people.
The writing was on the
wall. I mean, it sucks, but like, yeah, I don't know. And I think that 100%, I think will drop now that it is a shoulder soreness or something. So.
Especially like, as a non-Grayson manager, I would love for them to release that news on Monday on the results of the MRI, but I doubt that happens. So,
yep.
All right, Boston Red Sox. You mentioned it, the Boston Red Sox, seven games this week. They got that first Patriots Day game against Jonathan Cannon and the Chicago White Sox. And then they got three at home versus Seattle and three at Cleveland. It is six righties and one lefty. The first half of the week is all right-handed bats. So what are we looking at here when it comes to the Boston Red Sox? It feels like most of the pieces we'd like are already rostered.
Agreed. And that is true. The lineup, I don't see much. Like we talked about Sedan Rafael on our Tuesday show, how we were kind of actually encouraged by some of the skills despite the slow start. But Rafael, I don't think is available even in 12 teamers. So not doing that. The only thing I have elsewhere for the Red Sox is the rotation maybe getting somewhat healthy with Brian Bayo coming back probably next week, and then maybe Giolito the week after, something like that. So,
yep, that's the latest news. Yep.
I don't know if you like Bayo more than me. You used to like Bayo more than I did. I kind of treat him as like almost like a streamer. So I don't get too excited for the news, but there, I do recognize there is a ceiling there with Brandon Bayo. So if you want to get out ahead of it a little bit and you like Brian Bayo, you may want to throw some coin at Bayo, and it may not even be a stash. Like, he may actually be pitching next week.
Yeah, Bayo will be back next week, barring a catastrophe in his final rehab start. And yeah, he's basically a streamer for me as well, because the strikeouts are so inconsistent. It's very tilting at times. And then Giolito should be back the following week, barring something with him as well. So as to your point you're making, and there's still no word on Cutter Crawford because his knees don't work. All right, the New York Yankees, they have six games coming up next week, three at Cleveland, three at home versus Toronto, all right-handed bats. The one thing I'm going to mention to you, Mr. Bloomfield, because I was on board with what you said last week about Orlando Cabrera, who did go deep on Thursday. He was starting versus right-handed pitching. The first right-handed pitcher of the week he sat against, and that made my face just I was angry. Put it that way. But he was back in the lineup Thursday, went deep. So he played two games so far this week. Would you still be in on Orlando Cabrera, is my long-winded way of venting?
Yeah. I as a corner option, I think Cabrera is reasonable, just because it is a decent streaming week with six righties, and it's six righties that, like, it's Gavin Williams, it's Tanner Bibee, looked pretty bad today.
It's real bad.
Luis L. Barrios could blow up. Scherzer's listed. I don't think that happens. And then Gossman. So, like, it's a pretty soft schedule. So I like Oswaldo Cabrera this week. The other thing I wanted to point out is Trent Grisham is back to not playing all that much anymore. So I know, like, there was some heat on Grisham on last week's show.
Oh, I thought you said pin cushion for a minute. I was like, what?
Pin cushion?
I heard that so bad. I was like, who's pin cushion?
You looked,
like,
all confused.
Yeah.
Trent Grisham.
I get it. I was like, who's the nickname? How did I miss
this? Oh, you thought I, like, had a nickname?
Yeah, I'm going through
the, I wouldn't put it past me to just start calling somebody pin cushion.
Oh, that was great. I was like,
no, what the Trent heck? Grisham.
That was my fault.
Is back to being the, he started two of the last six games. Yeah. Like, I hope you all didn't spend too much on Grisham's hot week, pincushions hot week the last week. Maybe that's Grisham's nickname now.
It might be. Just remember the cushion for when there is an injury in the outfield, because then he will.
Yeah.
We know he gets the role, essentially. So there will be something there.
Dr. Doom in the chat says more Ben Rice. And I agree with that. I think Ben Rice is.
He's widely rostered. I wish I got more. Rostered, I got a couple shares a few weeks ago and wish I got more.
But for, like, start, sit, even in 12 teamers or whatnot, Ben Rice, six games, right handers, like, you absolutely start Ben Rice next week. Yep.
One of the better starts of the week, it looks like. So, yes, 100%. Tampa Bay Rays, they get to leave their friendly confines and go to some real ballparks for the week. Three games at Arizona, three games at San Diego. So some interleague action for the Rays. One lefty, five righties, which bodes well because the Rays are starting in the platoon, Ryan. They started the season out not really platooning. Then injuries have created about three really solid platoon situations right now.
Yeah, we're back to Rays being Rays again. Richie Palacios is back from the IL. I don't know if he plays every day.
Started on Thursday. Started on left field.
He did. So there is that. So Richie Palacios in a five-game right-handed week. Could be interesting in deeper leagues. Cameron Meisner's not really slowing down, and actually he's now leading off.
He's sitting versus lefties, which is so annoying.
I can hear the frustration there. There's only one lefty this week, though, Bubba. Don't worry.
Oh, I know. I'll still play him, but it's just like I sat him this week because he is sitting and he still had a great week. It's just like, God, I hate you.
Yeah. He seems to at least be adjusting to adjustments at this point. Christopher Morel, kind of, we've talked about him as almost like a drop.
Not anymore,
but it's still a 40% strikeout rate. Like, there's still some problems there with Morel.
I'm more of the small samples with like a Christopher Morel because he's so streaky. If you just go back to even like April 6th as a small sample, so it gives him like
10, make the 10, small 10 sample games. Even smaller.
Well, it gives him 10 games. It's still a 44% K rate, but he's hitting .289, yeah. Four extra base hits, a homer and two steals. That's who he is. Like,
yeah, it is. It is.
So my point is, he's not like dead weight anymore. But yeah, the strikeouts are still very not good.
Yeah.
But sorry.
No, that's all I got. I don't have anything else on the Rays.
Yeah, but Meisner. If Meisner is somehow still available for you, that would be one of my more prioritized pickups on the week, especially if he's going to lead off. He's still only 31% rostered in OCs. So
is that it?
Yeah, I have him in one of my two OCs too. So he'll be a popular target around the world this weekend. And Palacios and deeper. See how it plays out, because maybe they're just giving Morel a day off because he hasn't sat in a while. See how that one plays out. But
yeah,
the other guy I will mention that surprisingly we didn't this week because we have all the time is, what's his roster rate before I say it out loud? Jonathan Aranda, he's up to 99%.
Yeah, so, no, I looked at him earlier today as well with the same thought, and I was surprised to see the roster rate that high for Jonathan Aranda. But it should be. OCs, he's good.
Yeah. No, heck yeah. But that's just where OCs make me laugh. Like, he's close to 100, but Meisner's 31%. Like, I know they're different profiles, but they're both playing out of their minds right now. So,
but still, Aranda's good to at least mention. It's a higher barrel rate than the strikeout rate, which is freaking hard to do. And even if you're not in NFBC formats or whatever, home leagues, maybe Aranda is available out there. I think he's a lot of smart people. Jason Collette was very high, noted Rays fan, very high on Aranda. Bubba just starts laughing, so we'll see.
No, I started laughing because I saw the chat here, because this goes back to our playback screen. Mitch D says Penn Cushing is the backup catcher for the Rockies. Yes, because they had to create a player catching yesterday. Yes,
they did.
So that was funny. That was well done, folks. Well done. Toronto Blue Jays, they have six games this week, all on the road. Three at Houston, three at the Yankees, one lefty, five righties for the Jays. There's just not a lot outside of the main culprits in Toronto for me.
No, I got nothing really. Congrats to Vladito hitting his first home run of the season after Miles Straw, by the way, on Toronto, which would have made some money in Vegas. I don't have really anything. Addison Barger got called up, but your guy, Nathan Lucas is on paternity leave. So I think that's a temporary thing. So I don't see anything with Toronto pickup wise either. I mean, the rotation either. Like, I think we saw the implosion of Easton Lucas this week. That wasn't very good to see. So
no, that was not good. Not good at all. Cause he was one of the top main event pickups. I'll tell you that much. So that was a painful one for many out there. And Easton Lucas is 49% rostered and 47% started in OCs to top it off.
Ouch. Michael C, going back to our random comment, 42% rostered in Yahoo. So Yahoo players out there for sure. I would take a look at him. Yep.
All right. Let's head to the AL Central. Chicago White Sox. They have the seven games this week. The Patriots Day game against Walker Buehler on Monday morning. And then they have three at Minnesota and three at the Athletics of the Sacramento ballpark. One lefty, six righties, four righties to start the week for the White Sox. We already hit on Edward Caro. Ryan, other than that, like Benny Biceps is back, if that's something people are into. Chase Mydroth should be a very popular pickup this week. So there, it's the old adage, Ryan, bad ball clubs give us fantasy options.
Yes, agreed. So, yeah, talked about Vargas Caro. It's a good sign. Mydroth's playing every day. And we talked about zero saves for the team. So let's also then, I guess, talk about with the White Sox, which we should be doing every week, is looking at the starting pitchers against them. Buehler, Ober, Festa, maybe. Pablo Lopez, all rostered. Severino, Springs, Osvaldo, Beto. I would go back to the Beto well this week, right?
Yes, I would still be rostering Beto and starting Beto.
Didn't he just pitch against the White Sox?
Yes, he did. And it's weird. So this White Sox team, not a great offense. They only struck out once versus Beto and twice versus Sears on Thursday. Like, very interesting conundrum there, because you pretty much roster them for ratios and Ks against these guys, and to not get the Ks is not ideal. I will say this much with the Festa situation. Keep an eye on that, because Pablo Lopez is supposed to do a rehab start on Friday, which would pretty much line him up to take David Festa's spot in the rotation.
Which would suck, but whatever. It also sucks watching David Festa get pulled in the fifth inning after 72 pitches. So,
I guess I guess technically they have Pablo Lopez pitching the day after Festa. So maybe Paddock. Yeah, maybe they're
Paddock needs to go out to sea.
Yeah, out to pasture, out to the back of the barn. What did I say to Maeda last year? Same team too. It's funny. All right, Cleveland Guardians. We'll move on from there. Six games this week, all at home. Three versus the Yankees, three versus the Red Sox, one lefty, five righties for the Guardians. A team that has just been massively disappointing when it comes to fantasy. Even like Jerrion's been good, but it's quiet. Stephen Kwan's been awesome. Yeah. But when it comes to like Kyle Manzardo, I think we were talking about it in the Discord. Someone was putting data in there, if I remember seeing correctly. The dude isn't hitting for average, but the, like, barrel rates, strikeout rates, all that stuff is awesome. So I'm holding Manzardo. Maybe not starting him automatically, but I'm holding him. How would you approach this week for the Guardians? Because ad drop wise, there's not much there.
No, there's not. Like we had talked a little bit about Angel Martinez as an outfield option, but like Lane Thomas is, I guess, back now, and Lane Thomas will play every day. So no, I do wish Big Christmas would play more than just against lefties, but that's not happening. So I don't see much here, man.
Yep, I'm with you as well. All right, move on to the Detroit Tigers. They got six games this week, all at home. Three versus San Diego, three versus Baltimore. Right now, it's one lefty and four righties, because they're still deciding who pitches for Baltimore in the first game of that series, because is it going to be Gibson? Is it going to be Young, as you mentioned? There's a lot of moving pieces there. So for now, it's one lefty, four righties. we'll see how that the cookie crumbles in that one. But what do you like in here with the Detroit Tigers? Hopefully people are jumping on the Dylan Dingler bandwagon. It's been a quiet week from him, but as a catcher, I'd still ride that train all day long. What else are you looking at?
Similar to Cleveland. There's some teams, there's just not much going on right now. I don't see much. I did talk about Justin Henry Molloy as a leadoff guy last week. That is no longer happening. Gleyber Torres is back and leading off, which Gleyber Torres back leading off is actually kind of interesting. Right in front of Kerry Carpenter, he's running a little bit. I like that, but that's not really fab talk. The only other thing I'll throw out is Tommy Kahnle got a 2-inning save today. Yep. It kind of seems like he's the primary, which is not nothing in Detroit, but probably already rostered.
And that's the guy I was looking at a couple of weeks ago when this started, but then it was like, such a Mets in Detroit. I still kind of stayed away, but I'd rather attack the Detroit situation than the White Sox. If anybody's,
well, I'd rather, yeah, rather do a lot of things than
cut off my big toe than attack the White Sox bullpen. But
other appendages, whatever.
I was gonna stick a lot with of toe, but we'll just go there. All right, moving on. The Kansas City Royals, they have 6 games this week, all at home in good old Kauffman Stadium. 3 versus Colorado, which is a great time to try to stream a pitcher, and 3 at home versus the Astros. 1 lefty, 5 righties, 3 righties to start the week. So if you're looking for streaming options, we'll just jump straight to that. Michael Lorenzen, would you put Michael Lorenzen up against the Colorado Rockies?
Jesus, I can't stand Lorenzen.
Because Bubich and Reagan should be rostered. So
right. Lorenzen's your only option. I would, and then people will stream Lorenzen against the Rockies. I mean, how can you not? They are truly awful. They are truly awful team, organization, ownership. So I would do that. Hitter wise for Kansas City, I got nothing. Molehill Massey, we're now calling him. No longer Mole Mountain.
He got an RBI knock today, like a single.
Great. I don't know how long the Royals can keep playing Michael Massey every day. At second base, it was
a fun really nickname bad. And a fun story, but that thing's starting to go away.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It happens. All right. Minnesota Twins coming up here. 6 games all at home. 3 versus the White Sox, 3 versus the Angels. So, again, get your Twins pitchers. But you talked about that. We're kind of curious on how that all aligns. Is it Fester or not? It looks like 2 righties and or 2 lefties and 4 righties for the week. Split up 1 and 2, 1 and 2 for your weekly periods. We talked about Kiesel, Ryan. What else are you looking at here in Minnesota?
So, yeah, we talked about Kiesel. We're just kind of like lukewarm on. Maybe that's even being optimistic in terms of how much to bid. This weekend, we talked about the pitching situation. Edward Julian is playing okay right now, leading off against righties. It's a 4 righty week. It's 1-2, 1-2 split. So it's hard to, in weekly leagues or bi-weekly leagues, to roll with Julian. Deshaun Kersey Jr. is playing. That's just a statement. I have nothing else to add to that.
Ty France is only 25% rostered.
Yeah, what's
hey, I picked him up last week. I gave you your dues. I gave you your props.
It's with these people. Ty France is good, man.
I think he should be, well, like, if you're dropping CES, Ty France is a very valid trade-off right about now. Because that's the one thing we talked about with CES on the Tuesday show is there's not a lot at first base right now. That was all like Ben Rice, Torque, all these guys, they're already gone. So replacing is the problem with when it comes to CES. France is a guy.
Are we with Minnesota? Are we in almost White Sox mode, especially with these injuries where we're streaming against the Twins? Like, we've got Davis Martin.
He's been sneaky good. That's one thing we kind of passed over that with the White Sox, but Davis Martin, he's maybe not an everyday starter, but definite streaming option. So this is a good point you make against a team like the Twins. Martin is not a complete pushover.
2 first names, though. So there is that. Shane Smith? No. Shane Smith? No?
No, no, no.
No Kyle Hendricks. I wouldn't do that. Jose Soriano probably rostered, so you're not streaming.
He should be rostered.
Anyway, just throwing that out there. The Twins are so bad right now and beat up on top of that, that I think they are a pretty good team to stream against.
That is a very valid point, so don't mind that at all. All right, to the AL West here. We got the Sacramento Athletics, six games this week. They're all at home, so that's going to be fireworks. Three versus Texas, three versus the White Sox. Supposed to heat up to like mid-80s, maybe creep towards the 90s next week. So get ready, folks. Buckle up, as they say. Three Rangers, three White Sox, which, man, talk about bad pitching. One lefty, five righties. Like, I don't know who you can get in Oakland, but get them.
Yeah, get them if you can. Like, even like, smoke them if you got them, especially against this crew. Good hell.
You know, one of the best setups to hit against all week here.
I mean, I hate to always bring up Miguel and Duhar, but I'm just looking for like A's that are not playing and not universally rostered. I mean, like Butler, Rooker, Soderstrom, Langoliers, Blade, Wilson at this point, all rostered. So you're left with Andujar, Urshela, Max Muncy. I'm not going Urshela or Max Muncy, but Miguel Andujar, I don't know, hitting 268, home run, couple barrels, good strikeout rate. If you need a rental outfielder for the week, I think you could do a lot worse.
The problem is Miguel Andujar might not be much longer for this team when Nick Kurtz gets called up next week.
Oh, we should talk. Yeah, that's a good call. Glaring omission there.
Brent Rooker just keeps playing left field again on Thursday. He's creeping closer to getting outfield eligibility. I think that Nick Kurtz might make his debut in the bandbox that is Sutter Health Park in Sacramento. And could be in for a monster week. Now, in NFBC, probably doesn't help anybody. But in your Yahoos, your Fantrax, if he's not already rostered, go get your Nick Kurtz right now. Because I think we see him next week at the latest. He might see him this week. I think they wait till they come home and you see him next week.
And so proper context over that, Nick Kurtz over Durbin and Edgar Caro, yes?
This Nick guy... Kurtz would be my, out of everyone we've talked about so far, Nick Kurtz would be my top pick right about now.
Yeah, should have thrown that name out at the top with that Athletics. And I think it would be, you're right, I think it would be Andujar's spot that he takes. So,
yeah, that'd be my only bugaboo to your conundrum there. Is,
that was a very nice way of saying, Bloomfield, you were wrong. Don't pick up Andujar.
Every once in a while, I could be a nice guy. All right, the Houston Astros, they have six games coming up this week, three at home versus Toronto, three at the Kansas City Royals. One lefty, five righties. I just want to say one thing before maybe you give some targets here if you have any. Isak Paredes is heating up, but I want to highlight that I discussed him on Breakfast with Bubba for Thursday morning, and it's everything you'd expect. All of his home runs are in Houston, folks. So that brings me to my point, is next week they have three games on the road and three games at home. You might not want to start Isak Paredes on the road going forward. It's almost like a Coors situation. So that's just something to think about if you're filling your bench or whatever you're doing. He's not nearly an auto start on the road. We're at home. He's been crushing it in Houston. On the road, it's bad. So just keep that in mind.
Very good point. I like that. So yeah, you can start him during the week. Don't start him Paredes on the weekend. I like that. The only other name I've got is Jake Myers. Is pretty much the everyday center fielder in running a ton. I think this is someone, as long as he continues to run and play, I think could get you some pretty damn good stolen base numbers. And I think it'll come with a decent batting average and some pop. So Jake Myers, really good plate skills, has a full green light, six steals already, 6 for 7 on the base pass. I think Myers is a decent outfield option for you. Just a heads up, the last guy I was going to bring up, Cam Smith, at least showing signs of life this week, home run and a steal. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe some hope if you spent up big on Cam Smith. He at least had a good week, and Cam Smith needed a good week.
Smith was basically a drop for me as the week started, but now I'm kind of like, okay, I'll hang out a little longer. Like there's a pulse right now because I know the skills are there. He's figuring it out, so we'll wait a second. And to your Myers point, like each week. On like usually around Wednesday, it's like my free day to write. I do I kind of recap the top 10 to 12 pickups in the main event for our Patreon people, because most people play shallower leagues, so those guys will be available, so on and so forth. That's the purpose behind it. And Jake Myers is like the sixth most added guy in main events. And I literally did the why so that I dug in, so it actually helped me out. To your point, even his average isn't even that great, but he's running insanely wild. There'll be a guy I'll compare him to later in the show who got added in the top 10 or 12 that is very similar, but I think I'd take Myers. I want to ask you that at that point, but there are people are, my point is, in your NFBC formats especially, people are already trying to attack steals, guys, if that makes sense, like this early in the season. It's not just like a, like some guys I've talked to, I think it was even you maybe on Tuesday, like just, oh no, it was Ben. He tells himself during Fab to just focus on like the best available players, not like statistical needs as much, yeah. Which I agree at this point in the season. But then it twisted on me when I looked at the top 12 in main event, and two of the top 12 are steals only guys.
Just look the last, I mean, the John Birdie of a couple years ago, last year, Xavier Edwards, like that.
It's huge.
That can actually win leagues. So
another thing you could do is go look how much these players went for last week and then put like a $100 tax on Caleb Durbin or maybe more. All right. Yeah. It's just an idea. Who knows? All right. Los Angeles Angels to Anaheim coming up here. 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Pittsburgh, 3 at the Minnesota Twins, 2 lefties, 4 righties for the Halos. Anything you got here? Kylan Perez is slowing down as expected. Still playing every day, not being horrific, but he's slowing down. So I'm waiting for that train to kick into full gear for the haters out there. But anything else?
The Kyron cooldown, the fall of Paris, the, I don't know, I'm going to workshop. Workshop yeah,
keep,
this.
Keep workshop.
Little premature. One bad week. We all have bad weeks. Only other thing I have with the Angels is Zach Neto is coming back, perhaps as soon as Friday. Picture in the Discord. Guys at Long Beach Airport picking up his luggage, his own luggage at the
Angels bag.
Angels bag.
That's the best part, dude.
Just fresh off like a Spirit Airlines flight. Like my man, like no team officials around. It's just Zach Neto at Long Beach picking up his bag and like heading to get an Uber. So that was awful. That was awfully hilarious to see in our Discord. I think it was a tweet, but that was pretty damn funny.
Yeah, then I also want to highlight, though, because what's going to be interesting is when Neto comes back, how does the playing time shuffle? And that's where it gets interesting, because, Rengifo was playing, shortstop, and Paris was at second, or Rengifo went to third, and Tim Anderson was playing shortstop. There's a lot of moving parts. I think Rengifo still plays third, and Paris plays second, or Paris plays center, because there's another news thing we saw in the Discord is Joe Adell's playing hurt. He's not even running 100% right now.
I didn't see that.
He's playing well enough to obviously play and hit for power, but there's a reason he's not stealing bases.
Okay.
So, I mean, something to monitor.
Don't the Angels just bench Tim Anderson for Neto?
It should be as simple as that, right? It should. Yes, but we are talking about Ron Washington, who, again, would make the best bobblehead, period. But again, playback.
Dave Roberts bobblehead night, man. You've got to be kidding me from the playback stream.
Right after Bobby Miller gets shelled, the Dave Roberts bobblehead commercial. Yes, that was so great. It's just something to think about with the Adell thing, but I'm with you. In theory, Tim Anderson getting benched should be so easy. Almost Tim Anderson getting DFA'd probably makes sense because he's not hitting. He's just playing defense. So that should be the move. We'll see what happens. They have Nicky Lopez. They have Kevin Newman still. JD Davis. Man, look at that bench. It's horrific. But, So just wanted to bring that up. There's going to be some shuffling. It should be simple. But this is the Angels, after all. Seattle Mariners, 6 games this week. 3 at Boston. 3 at home versus Miami. 2 lefties. 4 righties. Not a lot. Rayleigh had a nice game. The dumper's going for the first catcher of 2020 season, potentially. What do you like with Seattle?
Free Dylan Moore. I know I've been on this freaking train for a while now, and Dylan Moore has started the last 4 games. I think he needs to play every single day. I don't care if it's against righties, lefties. I think Dylan Moore needs to be in there. Has had a hell of a week, and I think Seattle is starting to realize that they need some pop in that offense. So if Dylan Moore, what's Dylan Moore at in OCs here?
It's low.
It's got to be. It's 65%. 65%. But if Dylan Moore is available, I just think he's now the playing time is in place because of all the injuries. He's second, third, short outfield. Like that's just so valuable. Really good power speed. I like Dylan Moore probably more than all. But that's the move with Seattle. I don't think there's anything else. Rowdy's still hanging on, but
yeah, I don't know for how much longer. Unfortunately. It's sad. It's sad to see the big man go. He's going to be a hell of a slow pitch softball player, though. I can see it now.
Go straight to that league,
Go back to the Elk Grove area and just freaking crush bombs. It'd be great. Yeah, no, I'm with you on the Dylan Moore thing. I was so angry when I saw Mastrobioni getting the start earlier in the week over Dylan Moore. It made no sense to me, but that's kind of been rectified since then. So, yes, get your Dylan Moore while you can, because Polanco is strictly a DH for a little while, and that'll give Dylan Moore plenty of leeway. Texas Rangers, they have six games this week, all on the road, all in the Bay Area, technically. I still call it the Bay Area, all in Northern California. Yes. Three against the A's, three at the Giants, two lefties, four righties. Texas is a little murky right now as well, Ryan. I guess the one guy I would mention, and I guess I'm curious to hear your thoughts here, is he got the start today. Where the heck's his name? I can't even. Oh, Dustin Harris in the outfield. If he continues to get run, he's played against the last three right-handed pitchers, and they have four righties next week. So it's deeper league most likely, but he had some power and a lot of speed in the minors. If he gets regular playing time, I like some Dustin Harris.
Not going to lie. I never heard of Dustin Harris until about 5 seconds.
So, doesn't surprise me. No, just kidding.
I got nothing. Like, so I actually got nervous, and so I looked at his Fangraphs page. I don't feel as bad now. It's 15 career plate appearances for Dustin Harris. So, no, I don't have much on Dustin Harris.
And I wish I would have seen your face when I was talking about that. Anything else? Because I want to highlight that I have benched Jock Peterson for the foreseeable future.
Oh, yeah, he's brutal.
He is so unbelievably bad, hitting a buck .065 right now with one double. He has a .022 ISO, a minus 18 WRC plus, a 6% barrel and a 32% hard hit rate. It is dreadful.
Yeah, it's a low light. Other Rangers highlights, I've got Wyatt Langford, I think, is back very soon.
Hit a bomb weekend. In double A rehab today. Yes.
Patrick Corbin got bit by a spider.
That was awesome.
Kumar Rocker pitched well today. Kumar Rocker needed that, had a bunch of K's, is pitching for his status in the rotation once Jack Leiter comes back. So maybe the spider will finally take out Patrick Corbin and keep Rocker in the rotation.
Yeah, we'll see. And yeah, you made a good point. Leiter returns shortly. All right, we'll head to the NL East here, the Atlanta Braves. They got six games coming up this week, three against St. Louis, three at the Arizona Diamondbacks, one lefty, five righties. They just promoted Alex Verdugo.
They did. And
they sent BDLC back, which shocked me. Wouldn't you send the other lefty back? No, they kept Kelenic up there for some reason. But Alex Verdugo's up. Alex Verdugo's available, and Alex Verdugo will, weirdly enough, be a very popular fab target
this week. I think he's going to play. And look at the schedule. Look at that 9% K to walk of five right-handers that Atlanta faces this week. Like, it's Fetty, Mats, Palante, Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Brandon Pfaadt. That's very reasonable. So, like, we can make fun of Alex Verdugo all we want. I think he's actually a decent streamer for this week, assuming Atlanta plays him. I think they will.
Yep.
So
I think you're in the
I
right.
I don't want to go overboard. I mean, it's Alex Verdugo again, but
yeah,
I don't know. 15 teams.
You're not wrong. So yeah, go get your Verdugo. Other than that, not much to get too excited about. Any concerns with Spencer Strider after his debut?
Not really. Outside the velocity kind of trending down throughout the start. So I don't know. I mean, but again, what can you do about it?
Yeah, no, you're not doing anything about it at all. So, yeah, agreed. All right, Miami Marlins, they have six games coming up this week, three at home versus Cincy, three at Seattle, five righties, one lefty. It started last week, Ryan. Get your Jesus Sanchez, is only 56% rostered in OCs. Connor Norby came back on Thursday. He's 41% rostered. Getting some signs of life in Miami. So that's an easy 1-2 punch for me. Yeah, man.
Not to be too hyperbolic, but Miami could be the center of the Fab universe this weekend.
It seems like that happened a lot last year, too, towards the end of the year. So like every week, Jesus Sanchez, please.
Yeah, I know. Especially a five-game righty week. Like, that's a really good spot for Jesus Sanchez. Connor Norby, I dropped in 12-teamers.
Yep.
He, I'm sure, is available in a bunch of leagues.
41%.
So he is in your 12s, I think. I think you want to go there, see what you get with Connor Norby. Matt Mervis gets that five righty week. So that is the thing with Mervis, he's probably going to cost you just because he has had the hot week. But Matt Mervis is still only a strong side platoon bat. But this week, Miami gets those five. So I like that. And then this is digging real deep, probably too deep. But Griffin Conine is playing well in the outfield, has a max velo of 117 miles an hour. He's hit a ball 117 miles an hour this year, which is like not many people on this planet can lay claim to that. So decent K rate, good power, hitting 300. Griffin Conine, maybe like an NL only thing, but even 15 teamers conditional bid, I think Griffin Conine is at least worth your attention.
Yeah, to your Mervis point, he's 24% rostered in OCs right now, and he's played 9 games at first base, folks. So he's going to get that util eligibility is about to disappear. So to the CES point we were discussing, Matt Mervis could be a first base replacement with tons of power if you want to play that game. So another guy to keep in mind. I will let you go and pick up Griffin Conine if you'd like. I'm not going to tell you no. In a deep format, it makes sense. You're a 15 guy.
Hey, man, trying to cater. Trying to cater.
I get it. I get it. That's why I'm not throwing it completely out with the bathwater. But, yeah, it's tricky. Would you stream like an Andrew Abbott versus Miami? Abbott looked decent in his return to Cincinnati.
Probably.
Yeah, 15. I just wanted to bring him up because he's in play here for the Reds when they're playing Miami here. And Abbott's 22% rostered in OCs right now. He went 5 innings, picked up the win, a 1.80 ERA, and 5 Ks in that first start.
Yep, I would do that.
All righty. New York Mets, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Philly, 3 at the Nationals, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Francisco Alvarez could be back this weekend or at the beginning of next week.
That's pretty much all I've got for the Mets is Alvarez. You want to pick him up, obviously, if he is going to be back, if he was dropped. Outside of that, I don't see much. Congrats, Mark Vientos, on hitting your first home run of the season. This evening, it was a cheapie. It was a cheapie, but it counts. So whatever.
It all counts in the end, folks. Philadelphia Phillies, they have 3 games at the Mets, 3 games at the Cubs. Big series early in the season for the fighting Phils. 1 lefty, 5 righties for Philadelphia. For those that are keeping track at home in the vent discussion in our Discord, Bryson Stott's already starting to get that platoon situation going, so it doesn't affect him as much this week, but keep that in mind. Discussion point from the offseason. What else are you liking here with the Phils?
But also, Stott has taken Kyle Schwarber's leadoff role. Stott is leading off against righties, so.
Which is interesting.
Schwarber is now down to fourth, and Schwarber played left field on Wednesday. Don't think he gets outfield eligibility anytime soon.
Know. Let me see how many games he's played. Yeah, if I'm just curious.
I think just one. I think that's the only one.
Yeah, that is the first one that you are correct.
Yeah. Outside of that, the only thing I have for the Phillies is Ranger Suarez is due back next week.
The week we're talking about.
I always get this and next week screwed up. No.
He's going to make one more rehab start, then come back.
Okay. Which may make the stash bid even more.
Yes.
Interesting. Ranger Suarez may be cheap and fab this week if he's available. I think you want to grab Ranger Suarez right now and for when he's back, which
he is 84% rostered in OCs.
Jeez. Okay. So never mind.
Yeah. I was with you on that one. Cause that's
higher than I thought, man.
I mentioned it on Breakfast with Bubba. I said, this is the time to stash. Like, cause he's going to be back there. He looked real good in his last rehab start. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, check your wire for the Ranger.
Maybe available. All right. Washington Nationals here. They have 6 games at home this week, 3 versus Baltimore, 3 versus the Mets, 1 lefty, 5 righties, 4 the Nats. Which means Luis Garcia should get to play, which is good. What else? What do you like here in Washington?
I've got my eye on an old friend in Washington, Ahmed Rosario. Do you think he plays regularly with Paul DeJong out? With
Paul DeJong's fractured nose, he's supposed to be the guy. Yes,
and Ahmed Rosario, like, he's not that old. I think he can get you 20 bags in a good full season. I think he can get you a decent batting average. Washington loves to run. I think it's a great fit for Ahmed Rosario. I like the signing when it happened. It's just I didn't know if he was going to play enough. And I think now if he does, Ahmed Rosario, where the hell does he even qualify
position-wise? I believe it's third base right now.
Is it only? No, it's second and outfield.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He's playing third base, though.
But he's playing third base. So he may get second, third, and outfield. Like, I just think that's a pretty valuable piece for someone who I think is still decent. And with DeJong out for a while, I think that's a good move, Ahmed Rosario.
I don't hate that. The other player I was hiding earlier in the show to compare to whatever speed demon we were talking about earlier. Jake Myers.
Myers.
Jake Myers. One of the most popular pickups as well is Alex Cole of the Washington Nationals this past week in main events, because he's leading off for Washington and he hits around 300. Doesn't steal. He doesn't do much else. He's pretty much a cheap. Yeah. He's a cheaper rise. That's the way I call him. Cheaper rise is what he is. But he's going to lead off. If this offense is as good as we think, he could score a ton of runs. I'm not in love with him. Just want to throw it out there. Some very smart people that spend a lot of money on fantasy were heavily involved in adding him this past week. Huh. So something to keep in mind as you are maybe looking to stream here and there or whatever. He's probably definitely a deeper league play, but someone to keep on your radar. It
would be interesting if he ran more, but for whatever reason in Washington, he's not. So
it almost feels like he could pull a Victor Robles if he leads off for them and starts running just a little bit more.
I mean, he hasn't run at all. He's run once.
I know. Like, but it is weird, like you said, though, like because they all run crazy to your point, which is interesting. So maybe something will change.
I would take, to answer your question, I would take Myers over Call.
Okay. There you go. Okay. You answered the call on that one. All right. Chicago Cubs, 5 games this week. It's the bummer. 2 at home versus the Dodgers, 3 at home versus Philadelphia, 2 lefties, 3 righties, only 5 games. This sucks.
Who is Sauer? S-A-E-S-O-U-E-R.
I don't know.
Dodgers pitcher?
I think that's what they put in there because it's supposed to be Bobby Miller's spot. They soured on it. So it's my only guess with what took place on that.
That was Bobby Miller's spot, wasn't it? That was
Bobby Miller.
R.I.P.
I was telling everybody, because like, oh, we're going to pitch him next week. Well, okay, you can give me the Cubs right now on whatever you want to do for that game.
Yeah. No, 5-game week for the Cubs. I mean, the hitters are owned. The good ones are Javier Assad, maybe coming back. We talked about him, maybe taking Colin Ray's spot, but that's it, man. Cubs are good. Cubs are good, but that doesn't mean there's not much in Fab. Both can be true.
It's tricky. And it's even the case for your Dodgers and your Cubs, 2 really good offenses. They're only playing 2 games in the first 4 games. There are scenarios where you're going to want a replacement for them early in the week for certain players. Just keep that in mind. Like, if for God forbid someone that they have a 2-game week and they only play 1 of the 2 games, that's going to hurt a lot. So keep that in mind as well. All right. We got the Cincinnati Reds. They have 3 games at Miami, 3 games at Colorado, Coors Field, 1 lefty, 5 righties for your Reds. Your boy Jake Fraley, he went off on Thursday. We can be back on the Fraley wagon this week.
Grand slam. I'm back. That was good to see. And it's good to see the Reds get 5 righties. And it's good that it's at Coors. It's Freeland, Senzatella, Feltner. Like, it's a very reasonable schedule. I like Jake Fraley as a streamer this week. What else do I have? Austin Hayes, your guy. I'll give you the floor on Austin Hayes.
And then that's 2 home runs.
Yeah, and hitting cleanup. So Austin Hayes, I think, is a very good pickup playing against, obviously we know he's going to play against lefties, but has started each of the 3 games he's been back against righties as well. So we talked about CES, Noel V. Marte backup, but not interested in that. So yeah, Austin Hayes, and then I would prioritize Hayes over Fraley. I'm sure you would agree with that.
100% would agree with that one. So Fraley's fine though for a stream for the week, but yeah, give me Austin Hayes because I play him all the time. So Milwaukee Brewers, they have 7 games coming up this week. Oh, and then we talked about Andrew Abbott, pitch him. 7 games this week, 4 at the Giants, 3 at the Cardinals, 2 lefties, 5 righties for the Brew Crew. Caleb Urban is the main name you need to know on this one. Anything else coming out of Milwaukee for you?
I think people probably interested in our takes on Logan Henderson.
He's supposed to pitch on Sunday, though, I think. So,
And is it a spot start?
That's somewhere other thing. I don't know. Myers. Yeah, Tobias Myers is due back next week.
Yeah, so I would just be very hesitant in redraft leagues putting a lot of coin on Logan Henderson right now. The prospect guys love Logan Henderson, want him called up. I just don't know if he sticks. So just keep an eye on that if you're wanting to bid heavy on Henderson this weekend.
Cool.
I think that's pretty much it. Are you concerned about Trevor McGill?
Yeah, I am. They actually utilized him in the 9th. It wasn't a safe situation, but they gave him a run and he pitched okay. But between the knee issue and just overall production, I'd be kind of worried. But then it's like everybody thought it'd be Abner Uribe, one of the most added players in mains last week. And he's pitching like the sixth and seventh. So yeah, who knows what's going on there.
Also doesn't help. Going back to my team save totals with Chicago, the White Sox at zero. Milwaukee has two saves as a team, which is tied with Miami and Colorado in Atlanta, which is interesting too. But anyway.
Good point. Very good point. I also want to highlight Garrett Mitchell's actually starting to hit the baseball. So
you mean it didn't strike out four times?
Five righties this week. So keep that in mind for all the haters out there. Garrett Mitchell's coming. It's like Omar's coming there. Garrett Mitchell's coming.
Garrett Mitchell week. The week he finally gets sent back down.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have six games on the road this week. Three at the Angels, three at the Dodgers. So Pittsburgh gets to spend a week in L.A. Good for them. Oh, bring your family. Let them go to Disneyland. One lefty, five righties for the Pirates this week. Doesn't do a whole lot for me, though.
Yeah, I think I go to Legoland, personally. But
Disney's awesome. I loved it.
Joey Bart's back. That's good. That's pretty much it's bad. It's bad in the Pirate streets. Dennis Santana did get his second save of the season today on Thursday.
Yep.
Just a little bit more confidence that Santana is the guy for Pittsburgh. But again, how many saves? How big is that pie going to be? So, I don't know. That's pretty much all I got.
And he's 97% no season anyway. So people are in on that one.
Okay. Yep.
St. Louis Cardinals, they have six games coming up this week, three at Atlanta, three at home versus Milwaukee, one lefty, five righties. The Cardinals still have one of the best offenses in baseball, which is insane to say out loud. But most of the pieces are rostered outside of like a Thomas Ajayi, but Mason Wynn is starting a rehab assignment on Friday. So okay, keep that in mind on the whole infield. Like, in a perfect world, so Ajayi moves to second base, Donovan moves somewhere else. They're not taking him out of the lineup because Donovan's hitting. But so JC's hitting so well, it's like they got to find a spot for him, hopefully, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think the biggest name for me is Matthew Liberatore. If we switch over to the mound.
Yeah.
18 innings, 24% K to walk, basically because he hasn't walked anybody. League average swinging strike rate, which with a really good walk rate, that can work. I think lines up against
Milwaukee.
So that also helps. I'll probably say all this in Liberatore is like 90% in 12 teamers. No, he's 29%. So this is somebody who, I mean, he's looked terrible in the majors, but Liberatore, I mean, did have some pretty heavy prospect pedigree coming up and at least has been pitching well to start. So Matthew Liberatore would be a starting pitcher on my list for Fab this weekend.
All righty. I don't hate it. I'm just nervous as hell with it, but I don't hate it. Let's go to the NL West to wrap things up here. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they are at home for the week. Three versus Tampa Bay, three versus Atlanta, one lefty, five righties. If you haven't added Pavin Smith yet, Pavin Smith has a pulse. You better get to it quickly. He's still only 66% rostered in those seasons. That's 34% of players don't know what the heck they're doing.
They don't listen to the show. They don't listen to the show.
Dang. Like, I got him everywhere I can, and it's been a glorious week from Pavin Smith. I was drafting Pavin Smith, for Christ's sake. Pavin Smith just with a bullet.
Stole a base this week, too, I think.
Today. Yeah, and Corbin Carroll stole three today.
Was sick.
Which maybe it's a Marlins thing, folks, because Pittsburgh ran wild on Miami. Now we have Arizona running wild on Miami. This is something to consider going forward.
Yeah, Pavin Smith combo meal today.
No, we haven't got three yet. Yes, combo meal for Pavin Smith. Definitely him and the Big Dumper on the same day. That's a milestone you'll never forget.
Mm-hmm. Big Dumper also threw somebody out. He was called the Big Swiper in our Discord today, which I liked. Pavin Smith week part two should continue. Tougher schedule. Like it's an 18% K to walk for the starters facing Arizona, but that's pretty much it for Arizona for me.
Perdomo's up to 92% rostered, so yeah, if he's still available, go get him. He's impressed me a lot, so don't hate that either. All right, Colorado Rockies, they have six games this week, three at the Royals, three at home versus Cincinnati. It's three lefties, three righties. In Coors, it's one lefty and two righties. The main name I'm thinking of, Ryan, it's Adele Amador season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Low floor, like it could fall apart, like just like it did last year. But yeah, if you want to take a shot at ceiling, that makes sense. I don't know what they're this team's doing with Brenton Doyle. Hasn't played in like a week.
Dude,
yeah, so it is bad. Not on the IL, so that's fun. Well, Michael Toglia, did Toglia listen to our podcast on
Grand
Tuesday?
Effing slant.
I thought we might get kicked off playback for your obscenity thrown during Michael Toglia's grand slam, but hey, we go down, we went down right.
It would have been the best way to go. I would have flown that flag forever.
Yeah. Zach Veen needs a week, or else this is going to start to get unfortunate for him. You get a Ryan Feltner two-step this week.
Oof.
So oof. I live for those. I don't know if I can. I'm not ready to be hurt again, but I know Ben Tidd's going to be. Well, I don't want to speak for Ben since he's leading the main event overall, but Tid likes him some Ryan Feltner. So
yes, he does.
Ben, do what you will with your good team and Ryan Feltner.
Yeah, the Rockies might have to start weaning themselves off of Veen. So we'll see how that one goes. Los Angeles Dodgers, they have five games this week, two in Wrigley, three at home versus Pittsburgh. Three lefties and two righties, so a complete shift. Over the weekend, it's one lefty and two righties. I don't have a lot for you when it comes to the Dodgers.
Nor do I. Everyone is rostered except maybe Andy Pajes, but he's, I don't know, still like him a lot, but
yeah,
not producing. I don't know.
I think we want him to be better than he is right now, which is the toughest part.
Tanner Scott has gotten the last two saves for the team. I think it will eventually land to where like Tanner Scott maybe gets half the saves. And last year, the Dodgers got 50 saves. And so if you get 25 saves from Tanner Scott this year, can't complain too much there. But
yep, for sure. Anyway. San Diego Padres, six games this week, three at the Tigers, three at home versus Tampa. All right-handed pitching, but as usual, Ryan, the Padres just continue to run out the same dog and pony show, except right now it's actually so banged up. It's a different dog and pony show. I'm just not that interested in what they're offering.
Clean the sheets. Gavin Sheets.
Clean the sheets. Good God.
Cleanup hitter against righties. Gavin Sheets gets six righties, six good righties for the most part. But cleanup six times, 42% rostered in OCs. I'd go there.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair.
You know, I thought you liked Gavin Sheets.
I'm just still spinning with your sheets right now. That's good.
The other San Diego note I have is like Randy Vasquez. Do not pick up Randy Vasquez. He has like been the luckiest pitcher I have ever seen over a four-star stretch. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's a very, very valid point on that one. All right, last team on the docket here, the San Francisco Giants. They have seven games this week, all in the Bay. Four versus the Brew Crew, three versus the Rangers, one lefty, six righties, which means it's keep on the yeah, Strzemski train, yeah. Everybody. Yep. That's been absolutely. He's even playing versus lefties right now. Like just he's leading off versus righties. Get that one locked and loaded. Deeper leagues, this is a little Montwade week if you want to in deeper formats, but it's all the yas all the time for me right now.
Agreed. Good call. Good call last week. That helped some Discord folks out. We got a couple messages this week, so that was cool to see. I don't know. There's not too much else with the Giants, in my opinion.
If you can stash Birdsong, stash Birdsong. That's okay. That much. Like
because Jordan Hicks.
I think it's a combination of Hicks. Weirdly enough, I think Landon Roop is fine, but during his last start, like the announcers were discussing how there's like internal conversations of does he need to go to the bullpen type stuff, which surprised me. Huh. So just have Birdsong because the second he's available, he's going to cost a lot of money. Like I know you can't stash everybody, but if you can stash Birdsong is what I would say.
Yeah, and Birdsong is 34% rostered in 12 teamers on NFBC, so pretty widely available. Good call.
I get it's tough to stash all these guys, but if you have a stash spot, make Birdsong a priority for that stash, I'd say.
Over like, just trying to give people Ranger Suarez.
I'd probably still take Ranger Suarez. just because we know he'll be locked into the rotation. Yeah. That's a good comp, though, in theory.
I can't come up with any other kind of
stash. I'd probably do Birdsong over like a Lucas Giolito, per se.
Yes, okay. And a Brian Baio.
Yeah, probably over Brian Baio. That's closer. That's close. But yes, probably over Brian Baio. Okay. But yeah, that's a good point. Like, proven injured guys versus the prospect that we like, the injured guys, at least we have an idea of when they're coming back. So, yeah. Good point. Good call. All right. Any final thoughts? We're looking at the schedule here before we get into the top free agent risers as we kind of basically check our work. Oh, yeah. Here's a good one. Real quick. Here's a good one. Michael Cicchini, Zebby Matthews. Interesting one to stash as well.
When is that happening, though?
See, I'd rather have Birdsong. I feel like Zebby should have been up already. So, like, I'd rather go Birdsong, but Zebby's better than Birdsong, I think. I'll say that much.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's just tricky. I don't know what the Twins. I think they just moved Festa up over Zebby because just the schedule worked out that way.
Agreed.
So I don't know if that's a full tell, but I think just something needs to happen in Minnesota before Zebby gets called up. But yeah, could very much happen next week. What do I know?
All right. Any other thoughts on the old schedule here before we talk about most added and dropped?
Monday 8 a.m. lineup. Monday 8 a.m. Jonathan Cannon. What a way to start the week.
8 a.m. Pacific time, everybody.
Well, yeah, of course.
Best coast.
Top free agent risers. This is by Fantrax for this week. So since the last Fab period ran, we got Cameron Meisner at plus 20. Austin Hayes, we talked about, plus 80. He's up to 37% rostered in Fantrax leagues. Matt Mervis. Right, we talked about Gabriel Arias.
You should have talked about
Arias. Arias,
yeah, I picked him up I picked him up in a couple 15s last week. He's playing a lot for the Guardians right now. Let me get the exact numbers for this one. He's been playing. Where did Gabriel Arias go? He's been playing third base and shortstop. He's playing every day, either versus lefties or righties. It does not matter with Gabriel Arias. He had 4 home runs all of last season. He already has 4 this year. He's hitting .268, 4 homers, and a stolen base in 63 plate appearances. Might still be a better deep league play, but someone to definitely have on your radar. Like, I picked him up in my 215s this past week for a middle infield help. I don't mind him at all. So Gabriel Arias does deserve some discussion, at least in deeper formats.
Kyle Stowers is on here, actually hitting quite well, 20% or so on this sheet that we are showing here for the YouTube crowd. This, again, is part of the Patreon, but I've got the year-to-date skills, strikeout rate, barrel rate, stolen base attempt rate, 20% barrel rate for Kyle Stowers. And for Stowers, a reasonable 27% K so far. I think he could live and be useful if the K rate stays below 30. Here's my guy.
There's your guy.
Griffin Conine, up from 20 to 24% rostered in Fantrax. Who else we got? Angel Martinez, not an option for us because I think Lane Thomas is back. Haven Smith needs to be up higher. He's up to 43%, but that should be more. Nassim Nunez, your CJ Abrams fill-in. Yep. Really just a stolen base play. I don't know if there's much else there. So
nope. And the rest of the list I really want nothing to do with outside of Dylan Dingler, and there's Jake Myers. Eric Waugeman, I'll say, in deep streaming situations. Well, just because last year he had his moments with the Angels. So that's what I bring up. He's basically the guy platooning with Mervis at first base because they DFA Jonah Bride. If it's the
they
right
trade him,
they DFA'd him. They ended up getting traded because of the DFA. Yes, I think to the White Sox or something like that. Waugeman could have some appeal. He'll be first base, third base. It's got a little bit of pop, but like I'm not running to do it. But look at a 10% K rate and a small sample, 8% barrel rate. He's not dead weight, basically. Just what I think it's interesting that he's on the list.
It is interesting he's on the list. I'll agree with you there.
All right, let's go to the pitcher side, Smarty.
Biggest pitching riser is Jose Quintana. I don't know what the
Well deserved.
Why is that well deserved?
Because with Quintana, I've discussed it on some,
guy
on
sucks, some shows. Man.
No, what Quintana does is the same thing like Martin Perez does, is these old, boring veterans that they'll throw 5 to 7 innings, give up 2 to 4 runs, limited strikeouts, but like in a deep league format, that's super serviceable.
I think it's a two-step. I think it's at San Francisco, at St. Louis. Maybe that's not a two-step, but those are the next two opponents for Quintana. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a two-step.
Is it?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about we talked about Logan Henderson. We're both a little apprehensive there. Quinn Priester.
He pitched well against Detroit. He's pitched five innings in both starts for Milwaukee, giving up, I think, one run, like eight or nine strikeouts over that run. So he's been good, but where's the ceiling? I don't know. But
yeah,
I guess he's got a better ceiling than Quintana. Quintana's got a better floor.
Yeah, maybe.
And Priester's got a two-step as well with the Giants and Cardinals.
What am I missing with Lance McCullers? Why is he number four rising on FanTrax?
He's
back.
He's probably like 2 to 3 weeks out. He's
close. Oh, is that it?
Yeah. Unless there's a setback. Always possible with Lance.
Nah, that couldn't happen. Well, would McCullers go back right into the rotation? Because they kind of,
that's what I don't know. I discussed that when I talked about Blue Ball and the PT tomorrow this past week.
Yeah.
McCullers hasn't pitched a major league game since 2022.
Right.
So I they're stretching him out to be a starter in the minors, but I feel like that's just like, I don't know, like career suicide to me at this point. But it feels like they're working him back to be a starter, to your point.
All right. So that's a useful data point from this free agent risers, because Lance McCullers is not even on my radar. But I think a lot of things need to happen there. Emilio Pagan rising. He's the number five riser. Blew the save today. Gave up a double dong to Cal Raleigh. And kind of watched the game. I think Raleigh homered earlier in the day. Rosarena, maybe?
Yes. It was back-to-back. It was Raleigh Rosarena.
Back-to-back. Yes. God, I can't. My memory's going. Matthew Liberatore, number six, who I brought up. So I like that. I don't even know who Jake Dreyer is on the Dodgers.
Maybe people are speculating he's coming up.
God.
Maybe it's an ice cream bobblehead day. Dreyer's ice cream. Oh, they seem to give him out to everybody
right,
in LA.
Dude, that was Jesus. All right. Osvaldo Beto is rising as well. Who else? Randy Vasquez is rising. Come on, people. That's about all I got in terms of the fan.
JT Jin.
Yeah, let's talk JT Jin. There were some smart people that are on JT Jin. I still need to be convinced. Sell me some Jin.
Yeah, I'm not a big Jin and more of a juice guy personally, but yes, JT Jin. I speculated on him, I guess, in the PT tomorrow a few weeks ago.
Yep.
It happened, and what we saw last year. He had his moments. He was, first good run with the bigs, was ups and downs. We saw him at Triple A this season through two starts, was just lights out on the mound. Again, two starts, but dude had a 51.4% K rate in two games, a 46% K to walk. He's just slicing and dicing.
How many games?
I didn't Pacific hear you. Coast. Two games. It was a short sample, 11 innings. He was slicing and dicing Triple A, and he got the call, looked really good, 5 1/3 innings in his debut. And allowed one run, struck out six. So what I like to see there is the strikeouts carried over, essentially, which was a big thing for me. You just go deeper into his profile. We're seeing the swinging strike rate looks very, very good. Where is that?
While I may sound skeptical and like in receiving this information, this is the type of thing you need to jump on changes like this. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But you can't wait for JT Jin to have a good month and then pick him up. Like, you have to act on this stuff now. So I do get what you're saying.
Yeah, because even like we saw like a 52% first pitch strike, which is up from years past. He was actually decent at that last year at the A's also. But 12.2% swinging strike in his debut. He had a 18% swinging strike at Triple A this year. There's definitely some changes in his repertoire and what's taking place. And I would, like you said, jump on this while you can. He's 25. He's a young arm that can show improvements. And I think this is one of those where, like, what did he do in spring training? Let's add another. Like, he gave a bunch of runs, but the strikeouts, this is where we saw the strikeouts jump again. So, like previous seasons, he had below a 9 K per 9 most of the time. Spring training, Triple A, majors, all small samples, but all above 10 K per 9s. Like, we're seeing a change with JT Jin.
All right. I don't know if I'm totally sold, but that was a good sell job.
I'm not good at that stuff, but yes.
Michael in the chat says, isn't Gonsolin close, Tony Gonsolin? And it does seem like Tony Gonsolin's close. So that could be an option for LA as well.
He might be the guy that takes that Tuesday start in Chicago.
Okay. Yep. And I think you have to be interested, right? Tony Gonsolin was good, was very good in the past. And anyone on LA pitching in that rotation, you need to be interested in. So.
Yep, I'm with you on that as well. Not much else on this list, though. I'm glad JT Jim was on there. We should have mentioned him earlier. So checked our work, missed one, got it back. So that's what it's here for.
Missed two, Gabriel Arias.
Yes, Gabriel Arias too. Maybe. Well, I like him more than you do, it sounds like.
Yeah. No, he's fine. He's fine.
All right, you ready to start two-stepping?
It's a little late in the night, but I think I can.
I'll clean the sheets. Arizona Diamondbacks, Brandon Pfaadt versus Tampa Bay versus Atlanta.
Yeah.
Osvaldo Beto versus Texas versus the White Sox.
Yeah. So oh, hell
in,
yeah.
That's in Sacramento.
I don't care. Let's go.
I'm doing it.
I mean, Texas has been awful, and we all know the White Sox. So
Schwellenbach, you're starting his two step. Dean Kramer at Washington at Detroit.
Jesus Christ. I don't think I'm doing 50. The Dean. This guy comes up. This guy's like a two-step every week.
Yeah. It's 15-team viable, but very not attractive. Yeah. Boston's got two guys potentially. Got Walker Buehler versus the White Sox at Cleveland.
Yeah, turning things around of late slightly for Buehler. Yep, I would throw that.
And then potentially Brian Baio versus Seattle at Cleveland.
Ooh. I hate to throw it coming off injury, but that is, I mean, just the Seattle start alone that they did get 11 runs today, extra innings, but I think I would do that. I mean, you're going to fab Baio this weekend. And if you fab Baio, I think you're rolling with him in a two-step right after you picked him up.
I agree. And then just for anybody that does any look aheads here, Giolito is expected to have a two-step the following week if things stay on schedule. So do with that what you wish. Cincinnati, Nick Martinez at Miami at Colorado. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
Yep. Cleveland, Gavin Williams versus the Yankees versus Boston. He has not looked great.
He is not. And I'm not a Gavin Williams guy, but if you have Gavin Williams, you're throwing him. You're definitely throwing him. But yeah, it's scary. Yep.
Colorado, Ryan Feltner at Kansas City versus Cincinnati.
I mean, you got to have to, right?
Do you really?
Yeah, you do. Really? Like, dude, look at, well, I don't have the pitching planner up. That is one of the easiest. That's a dream schedule. I don't know if I can go there. Like I said, there is some major scar tissue from previous years with Ryan Feltner. But I think in 15, Ryan Feltner is, I'm going to say sought after, but he's going to get picked up.
So his year-to-date skills is an 8% K to walk, 12% swinging strike, 40% ball rate. There's two things in the red there.
Yeah, he's missing bats, but yeah, the Ks and the control, not so much.
So yes, it is one of the better schedules on slate. You are correct there. All right, White Sox, Jonathan Cannon at Boston at the A's. No.
Do not fire the Cannon.
Now, Davis Martin at Minnesota at the A's is tempting. The A's part terrifies me. A's part terrifies me, but Minnesota's interesting.
It's just like, no, dude, I'm not doing Davis. Well, you said Davis Martin was like good. Dude has a 7% K to walk, 8% swinging strike. Get out of here. I'm not doing that.
He's showing signs of life. He's a young arm that had a lot of potential that, you know, I'd still rather have JT Jim, but like today, 5 1/3, 4 earned, 3 strikeouts for Oakland.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. You know, that's
probably not starting Davis Martin.
More earned runs than strikeouts. That's
but great. Yeah. Shut it. All right. So we go to Kansas City. Chris Bubich, you're starting. Angels, you're starting Jose Soriano, especially against Pittsburgh and Minnesota for sure. Miami, Max Meyer versus Cincinnati at Seattle, you're starting that. Milwaukee, Quinn Priester at the Giants at St. Louis.
I'm not doing that. No, I'm not bought in on Quinn Priester.
What about Quintana at San Francisco at St. Louis?
I would do Quintana over Priester, but yes, I agree. Would lean away from both of them.
I do Quintana in a deep league, and I do Quintana over Priester. All right. Mets, Tyler Seiler McGill versus Philadelphia at Washington.
Yep. Yep.
Yankees, sure. Clark Schmidt at Cleveland versus Toronto.
Yes, but to both.
Agreed. Philadelphia, Aaron Nola at the Mets at Chicago. Nola does not look good. Does not
why are you
look
asking good, me this?
Does not look good. Just wanted to bring that up. Couldn't find the strike zone.
Skills, man. They're all green. K to walk, swinging strike. It's vintage those, Nola. Skills look good. Just results are hell.
Sometimes those Oregon Duck greens don't tell all the story.
Better ERA than Dylan Cease, though. So we got that going for us.
Oh, you set the bar high. Pittsburgh, Bailey Falter at the Angels, at the Dodgers. God bless you. Yeah. Randy Vasquez is at Detroit versus Tampa, so he'll get picked up everywhere. And you've only said it like seven times. Do not pick him up. So,
I tweeted this out earlier. The worst swinging strike rate in baseball among starters, and the worst ball percentage in baseball among starters. Like, this guy is awful. Do not.
Yep. I would not do it, folks. Do not do it. Do not do it. Seattle, Bryce Miller at Boston versus Miami. Yeah.
Yep.
Giants, Robbie Ray versus Milwaukee versus Texas.
Dude, it's gonna
raise. I was worried about him coming into the season. I don't think I have any shares personally.
I think you throw it, but like, if this week doesn't go well, might take a turn.
This is another reason why I get Birdsong. It's not just Hicks. It's like Ray might be hurt for all we know, because that's what he's been in his career. Like, there's, and Verlander sucks. Like, there's going to be an opening for Birdsong very soon. So Ray, yes, but be prepared to drop. Hicks versus Milwaukee versus Texas, same basically to me.
Yeah, Hicks scares me, but
yeah,
no, I don't even think I do Hicks, honestly.
I would do it, but both are terrifying. Both are very terrifying. Tampa Bay, Lytle at Arizona at San Diego. That's a no for me.
That's a no. That's massive nuclear potential.
Yeah. Kevin Gausman at Houston at the Yankees.
Yeah. Gausman's pitched well. Yep.
I agree. And then Mitchell Parker versus Baltimore versus the Mets. Yes.
Yeah. Mitchell Parker's sneaky decent. And the Baltimore thing scares me, but they're not as good against lefties as they are against righties. So I think Mitchell Parker is kind of a sneaky two-step. I like it.
I like it too. I'm going to keep pitching him. Just be prepared for the blow up, because the underlying metrics are scary, like very scary. And he did this last year. Like, he had a lot of good starts, but then he had like the blow up where you're like, okay, yep, that was what I deserved for rostering him this long. But I started this week versus Baltimore and versus the Mets. All right. Any final thoughts, my friend? We got a listener question here. Sorry. Trans-Siberian says, time to cut bait on Luis Robert. Hold hoping rumors are true. Traded to the Dodgers.
No, I don't think it's time to cut bait on Luis Robert.
Yeah, not yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, unless it's maybe like a 10-teamer. But I have Luis Robert in 12s, and I'm not even close to thinking about that one yet. Yeah, you do hope for the trade. I think the trade's coming.
But, you can bench him.
You can bench him, yep.
B Rad on Twitter says, you think playing time in Tampa outfield will just be a usual Tampa mess with Richie Palacios back? I don't think Richie factors as much. It's the Meisner situation that sucks.
Yep.
He says, what's your guess when DeLuca and Lowe come back? When DeLuca comes back, he should start, or maybe he platoons with Meisner. And yeah, it's going to suck. That's all I can say.
Agreed.
Let's just get them all.
You know the playing time better than I do. It will be a cluster.
Okay, let's just get them all back before we can get too concerned.
Yeah,
about it.
And that too.
Yeah. And then CJ Baseball just says Kurtz.
So yeah. Still. Should have let off with that on the A's, but
it's all
potential
good.
Massive help for you this season, Nick Kurtz.
Now the crappy part would be if he gets called up on Sunday and we can't add him for the six games in Sacramento. That's the part that I'm worried about.
I checked in labor and tout. He's already rostered. He was drafted.
He should have been, yeah. He should have been, for sure.
Oh, well.
Yeah. NFBC, you have to wait unless someone drafted him and dropped him. So he might be in those 1% of lucky leagues, basically, that he's available. Otherwise, we sit and wait for Oakland to do the right thing.
Yep.
But any other final thoughts? Week 5 Fab. That means we have 22 weeks to go, but who's counting?
Not me. I'm enjoying these. Prospect call-ups are the theme of the week. A few other good names I'm sure you've jotted down.
I got a long list today, actually.
Yeah, pretty, I think pretty juicy Fab Week. I wasn't too sure of that heading into it. And we still have the weekend for more injuries to come.
Yes, we definitely do. So if you need help with that, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. We got the Discord. Yes. We got my Fab article comes out later in the week, which I usually wait till if there's a lot of news more towards Saturday to release instead of Friday type thing. It's kind of a wait and see approach on some of it. We'll obviously have this show. Ryan Sheets will keep updating with the schedule changes and all that good stuff. So yeah, I know it sounds silly because you think we're just pumping it to try to pump it, but I use it all the time. So
yeah, I think it legitimately helps people. We both use and read the stuff. So I don't know. We're putting out what we use and look at. So I don't know what else we can do. So
pretty much. Yeah. Go check that out. Support your boys if you want. Yeah. Other than that, though, enjoy your weekend, everybody. If you're wrestling fans, it's WrestleMania weekend. If it's a lot of baseball coming up, it's the Heritage, Easter Sunday. Should probably lead with that. Easter Sunday. Yeah. That's probably the big one. Just throwing that out there.
Is Brad Lord still up, and is he pitching on Sunday? If so,
well, I'll let you know after my 20th noon. Because it turns into a marathon night.
Or maybe Logan O'Hoppy will have a good day on Sunday. And
We might not have a breakfast with Bubba Monday morning. Just gonna throw that one out there right out the gate. Done that one. We'll see how that goes. But
You missed my O'Hoppy pun.
Oh, I got just you. Hoppy like a bunny. I got you. I got you.
It's time for us to go.
That was my flash. Trying to wrap it up here. Make sure y'all follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan VHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BDendrick. Thanks all for listening. This was a fun one. Hope you guys got something out of it and good luck this weekend in Fab. But we'll be back with you guys next week. Bloom boards, more Fab, all the fun stuff. Bubba and the Bloom episode 235 in the books. See ya.